Chapter 6. Letting Go, Transformation and Healing. When we know the art of how to suffer, we suffer much less. We're able to make use of the mud of our suffering to grow lotuses of love and understanding. Living our life fully and deeply requires courage. If we cannot be happy right here and right now, we need to ask ourselves why. If we're having difficulty touching peace and the wonders of the cosmos in our daily life, there must be something getting in the way. We need to find out what it is. What's weighing us down or pulling us away from the present moment? The art of living happily is also the art of transforming our afflictions. If we want to be happy, we need to identify what is preventing us from being happy. The path to well-being is the path out of ill-being. Sometimes we suffer, but we don't dare to admit it to ourselves, let alone to others. However, only by facing our suffering can we find the way out, the path to well-being. A meditator is both an artist and a warrior. We need to use our creativity and courage to cut through whatever is holding us back from being happy or being free. It's as though we're entangled. We may be entangling ourselves or letting others entangle us. We may even live as though we are saying, "Please tangle me up." We need both the insight born of meditation and the courage of a warrior to cut through the obstacles on our path and the ropes that entangle us. In the words of the first Zen teacher in Vietnam and China, Master Tang Hoi, letting go is the action of heroes. Disentangling yourself. We may be entangled by our projects, our work, and our fast-paced way of living. We may be caught up in our craving or restlessness. We may be blocked by our sorrow, anger, or fear. We may have been entangled our whole life by the ropes of anger and fear, or weighed down by a grudge we can't shake off. A relationship with someone close to us may have become overgrown and buried by weeds of misunderstanding. Or perhaps we are caught up in seeking status, money, or sensual pleasures. All these things prevent us from touching the happiness, peace, and freedom that is available right here in the present moment. To disentangle ourselves, we need courage and determination. It takes courage to change our livelihood to one that is more in line with our deepest values and aspirations. It takes determination not to get carried away by projects that make us feel stressed and overworked, causing us to neglect ourselves and our loved ones. It takes courage to sit down with our partner, friend, or family member and open up communication. Each one of us needs to identify our ropes so we can cut ourselves free. We have to make time to sit down and ask ourselves honestly what is entangling us. Wanting to untie the ropes is not enough. We need to understand why those ropes entangled us in the first place before we can free ourselves from them. How long do you have left to live? What is so important that you let it get in the way of your chance to live deeply and happily? When you get your priorities straight, you can let go of the restlessness, frustration, anxiety, and resentment you've been carrying. Very few people are truly free. We are too busy. Even if we have millions of dollars, even if we are famous and influential, without inner freedom, we can't be truly happy. What we all want most in the world is freedom. Each one of us has our own idea of happiness. We may think our happiness depends on having a certain job, house, car, or person to live with. Or we may think we have to eliminate this or that from our lives in order to be happy. Some of us think that if only a certain political party was in power, then we'd be happy. But these are just ideas we have created for ourselves. If we let go of our ideas, we can allow ourselves to touch happiness right away. Our idea of happiness may be the very obstacle standing in the way of our happiness. Letting go. You already have one piece of paper on which you listed all the conditions of happiness you have. Now you need to take another piece of paper, find somewhere quiet to sit, and make a list of everything that is entangling you, Everything you need to let go of, including your ideas about happiness. Just naming what you want to release will make you feel lighter. The more you can let go of, the more lightness and freedom you will feel. Letting go is a source of joy and happiness, but it takes courage. Suppose you live in a busy, polluted city, and you want to get away for the weekend. You may say you want to get away, but somehow it never happens because you can't let go of the city. You get entangled in the city, so you never see the sweeping hills and the forests, the beach and the mountains, or the moon and the stars. But when a friend finally helps you get away, you begin to feel free as soon as you have left the city behind. You feel the fresh breeze on your face, and you see the wide horizon, and this makes you feel good. This is the joy of letting go of the city, of leaving your entanglements behind. Transforming suffering. Sometimes the obstacles to our happiness is not something we can cut through or let go of easily. A deep feeling of sorrow or despair may establish itself in our hearts, and we need both the fearlessness of a warrior and the skill of an artist to transform it. We can take refuge in our Buddha body, our spiritual practice body, and our community body to help us do this. In 1954, Vietnam, my homeland, was divided into North and South. The war was raging and dragging on and on, with no end in sight. This was when my mother died. It was a very painful, difficult time for me, and I fell into a deep depression. There was nothing the doctors could do. It was only through the practice of mindful breathing and mindful walking that I was finally able to heal. My experience has shown me that the practice of mindful breathing and mindful walking can help overcome depression, despair, anger, and fear. Every step and every breath can bring healing. If you are depressed, try to practice mindfulness of breathing and walking with all your heart. Even if you do it for just 1 week, you will be able to transform your suffering and experience relief. Do not give up. Keep coming back to your breathing and walking. Keep trusting in the qualities of fearlessness and perseverance that are there in you. Your seeds of awakening and compassion will help get you through. When we're facing a personal crisis or suffering from depression, we may feel that life itself is the problem. We may think that if somehow we could throw off this body, then we would not suffer anymore. We want to shed this mortal coil in order to go somewhere where there is no more suffering. But we have seen that this is not possible. Life and death are not what they seem. To be or not to be, that is not the question. There may be birth and death on the level of conventional truth, but on the level of the ultimate truth, to be or not to be is no longer the question. The teachings on emptiness, aimlessness, signlessness, and our eight bodies show us that we are so much more than this body. There is no separate self-entity that can leave this body and go to a place where there is perfect bliss, a place free of suffering. Peace, freedom, and happiness can be found right here in this very life, if only we can learn the art of handling our suffering. Thanks to having a body and to being alive, we have an opportunity to heal and transform our suffering and to touch true happiness and the wonders of life. Whatever we can do to heal and transform ourselves is contributing to a more beautiful continuation body, not only for us, but also for our ancestors. Who is suffering? When our despair is overwhelming, we need to be able to let go of the idea that our suffering is our own, that this body is our self, and that this body belongs to us. The insight of interbeing and no self will help. Not having a separate self doesn't mean we don't suffer. When conditions for suffering come together, suffering arises. We feel it. We experience it. And when conditions are no longer sufficient, suffering ceases. The good news is that suffering is impermanent. There doesn't need to be a separate self-entity who suffers. In fact, when our suffering is very great, we can be sure that it is not ours alone. It may have been transmitted to us by our parents, grandparents, or great-grandparents. They may never have had a chance to learn how to transform their pain and suffering. And so this suffering has been passed down for generations. You may be the first one in your family to have encountered teachings and practices that help you recognize and take care of this suffering. When we are able to transform our suffering, we do so not only for ourselves, but also for all our ancestors and descendants. Knowing that you are doing this with them and for them can give you the courage and strength you need to overcome even the most difficult moments. And we know we are cultivating a good continuation body for the future. Our body is not our own individual property. It is collective. It is the body of our ancestors. In our body, we have our mother and father, our nation, our people, our culture, and the whole cosmos. If we are overwhelmed by despair, we may think that destroying our body will help. But the insight of interbeing shows us that destroying our body would be killing our father, our mother, and our ancestors in us. It is possible to let this suffering, which is not ours alone, pass through the body, bit by bit, with fearlessness and perseverance. It can be transformed. Surviving the storm. It is possible to use our breathing to embrace our strong emotions and experience relief. We are so vast, and our emotions are just one part of us. We are much more than our emotions. A strong emotion is like a storm that comes, stays a while, and passes. Everyone must learn to survive a storm. The practice of belly breathing is essential. Every time a strong emotion like anger, fear, sadness, or despair comes up, we should go back to our breathing right away so we can take care of the storm raging within us. We are like a tree in a storm. The top branches of the tree may be blowing wildly in the wind, but the trunk and roots are stable and firm. With belly breathing, we bring our mind down to our trunk, our abdomen, where it is calm and stable. We should not stay high up in the branches, where we are blown about. Whether sitting, standing, or lying down, bring your attention to your abdomen and focus 100% on your in and out breaths and the rising and falling of the abdomen. Stop thinking about whatever triggered the storm and just follow your breathing, focusing on the belly. After 5, 10, or 15 minutes, the storm of emotion will pass. Your mind will have re-established its clarity and calm. Belly breathing is something you can do any time and anywhere. Whenever you have to sit and wait for a few minutes, instead of reaching for your phone, why not challenge yourself to follow your breathing 100%? This is a way of training your spiritual practice body, and soon bringing your mind to your breathing will become a habitual response that can save you in difficult moments. You can also train to come back to your belly breathing when you encounter smaller difficulties and challenges that arise every day. Then, when the tidal wave of emotion comes, your practice body will be there for you when you need it most. Recognizing and embracing suffering. We should not be afraid of suffering. We should be afraid of only one thing, and that is not knowing how to deal with our suffering. Handling our suffering is an art. If we know how to suffer, we suffer much less, and we're no longer afraid of being overwhelmed by the suffering inside. The energy of mindfulness helps us recognize, acknowledge, and embrace the presence of the suffering, which can already bring some calm and relief. When a painful feeling comes up, we often try to suppress it. We don't feel comfortable when our suffering surfaces, and we want to push it back down or cover it up. But as a mindfulness practitioner, we allow the suffering to surface so we can clearly identify it and embrace it. This will bring transformation and relief. The first thing we have to do is accept the mud in ourselves. When we recognize and accept our difficult feelings and emotions, we begin to feel more at peace. When we see that mud is something that can help us grow, we become less afraid of it. When we are suffering, we invite another energy from the depths of our consciousness to come up, the energy of mindfulness. Mindfulness has the capacity to embrace our suffering. It says, "Hello, my dear pain." This is the practice of recognizing suffering. "Hello, my pain, I know you are there, and I will take care of you. You don't need to be afraid." Now in our mind consciousness there are two energies, the energy of mindfulness and the energy of suffering. The work of mindfulness is first to recognize and then to embrace the suffering with gentleness and compassion. You make use of your mindful breathing to do this. As you breathe in, you say silently, "Hello, my pain." As you breathe out, you say, "I am here for you." Our breathing contains within it the energy of our pain. So as we breathe with gentleness and compassion, we are also embracing our pain with gentleness and compassion. When suffering comes up, we have to be present for it. We shouldn't run away from it or cover it up with consumption, distraction, or diversion. We should simply recognize it and embrace it, like a mother lovingly embracing a crying baby in her arms. The mother is mindfulness, and the crying baby is suffering. The mother has the energy of gentleness and love. When the baby is embraced by the mother, it feels comforted and immediately suffers less, even though the mother does not yet know exactly what the problem is. Just the fact that the mother is embracing the baby is enough to help the baby suffer less. We don't need to know where the suffering is coming from. We just need to embrace it, and that already brings some relief. As our suffering begins to calm down, we know we will get through it. When we go home to ourselves with the energy of mindfulness, we're no longer afraid of being overwhelmed by the energy of suffering. Mindfulness gives us the strength to look deeply and gives rise to understanding and compassion. Embracing our pain and suffering is an art. It may take some training to learn how to do it. As a meditator, you are an artist, and the art of embracing your suffering is particular to you. You can be creative in how you handle a painful feeling. You may want to draw, paint, listen to inspiring music, or write a poem. Some of my poems that have the most beautiful images were written during the times when I was encountering my greatest suffering. Writing these poems was a way to nourish and comfort myself, so I would not lose my balance, and so I would have the strength to continue my work. When I am experiencing a difficult feeling, I often choose to bring to mind a beautiful, positive memory to comfort me and water the seeds of hope in my consciousness. It may be the memory of my favorite cedar trees in Plum Village, or the image of a young child laughing and playing with delight. This is a way to garden the mind. The positive energy of the good seeds gladdens the mind and embraces and penetrates the painful feeling. What would be the positive memories or experiences you could call upon to help embrace and balance the energy of sorrow or despair when it comes up? It is also possible to take your suffering for a walk, to allow it to be embraced by the earth, the blue sky, the sunshine, and the little miracles of life that are all around you at every moment. To suffer is not enough. You also need to remember that the wonders of life are there. When you stay present with your body, present with your breathing, and present with your suffering, you allow Mother Earth and your cosmic body to embrace your pain. You allow the wonders of life to comfort and refresh you and bring you some relief. A healing presence. When you know how to handle and embrace your own suffering with compassion, you will also know how to help someone else who is experiencing pain, either physically or emotionally. If you have the energies of calm and compassion yourself, then you can be a source of those energies for someone else. When you sit next to them, they can feel the energy of your presence. They can feel your compassion and care. You don't need to do or say anything. The quality of our presence already changes the situation. You are just like a tree. You may think that a tree is not doing anything at all, but when you touch a tree or sit at the foot of a tree, you can feel the energy of the tree pervading you. The tree has an energy. It simply stands there, being itself, and that is so refreshing, nourishing, and healing. Sometimes someone else's suffering can make you feel powerless. It may seem like there is nothing you can do to help them. But in fact, if you can generate and sustain an energy of calm and embrace your own feeling of powerlessness, by following your breathing and relaxing your body, you are taking care of the energy of your tree. Offering a high quality of presence for someone who is suffering can already be very supportive and healing for the other person. Many of us want to do something to help the world suffer less. We see so much violence, poverty, and environmental destruction all around us. But if we are not peaceful, if we don't have enough compassion, then we can't do much to help. We ourselves are the center. We have to make peace and reduce the suffering in ourselves first, because we represent the world. Peace, compassion, and well-being begin with ourselves. When we can reconcile with ourselves and embrace and transform our suffering, we are also taking care of the world. Don't think that you and the world are two separate things. Anything you do for yourself, you are also doing for the world. Practice. The Art of Suffering. If you want to understand your suffering, you first need to calm yourself down. You need to embrace your suffering with compassion. Then you have a chance to look deeply into it in order to understand its roots and transform it. Don't run away. We know there's suffering within us, but we don't want to go home and listen to it. We're afraid we'll be overwhelmed by the pain, the sorrow, and the despair inside, so we try to run away from ourselves and suppress it. But as long as we run away, we'll never have a chance to heal and transform. So the first step in the art of suffering is to use the energy of mindfulness to be present for your suffering. Your spiritual practice body, your mindful breathing, and the energy of mindfulness, concentration, and insight gives you the courage and stability to recognize, handle, and embrace what's coming up. Avoid the second arrow. Someone who is hit by an arrow is in a great deal of pain. But if a second arrow comes along and hits that person in the same place, the pain will be 10 times worse. Your suffering is the first arrow, and the second arrow is your irritation, anger, resistance, and reaction to whatever is coming up. The second arrow could be your fear, which imagines the situation to be much worse than it is. It could be your inability to accept that you are suffering, or it could be your frustration or regrets. You have to be calm and recognize your suffering clearly, just as it is, without exaggerating or amplifying it with other worries. Identify the roots. When you embrace your suffering with mindfulness, you discover that your suffering carries within it the suffering of your father, your mother, and your ancestors, as well as the suffering of your people, your nation, and the world. Many of us may have experienced moments of acute sadness, fear, or despair that we don't understand. We don't know where the feelings come from. When you look deeply enough, you are able to see the deep roots that may be ancestral suffering passed down to you. This helps you transform the suffering, reducing the pain and despair you feel. Nothing can survive without food. This is just as true for suffering as it is for love. If your suffering, sorrow, or depression has been going on for some time, there must be something that is feeding it. Every day we are consuming our thoughts. We are consuming TV, movies, music, conversations, and even the collective consciousness and environment around us, which may be toxic. So be attentive, and reflect deeply to see whether these elements are feeding your suffering at the roots. As we start to change our habits of thinking, speaking, behaving, and consuming, we cut off and uproot these sources of food, and our suffering will steadily begin to die. As it dies, it becomes compost, nourishing new flowers of understanding and compassion in the garden of our heart. The goodness of suffering. It's very tempting to want to stay strong and healthy and never suffer any pain or illness. Many of us hope we will never have to encounter serious difficulties or challenges in our lives. But my own experience is that had I not encountered great difficulties and suffering, I would never have had the chance to grow on my spiritual path. I would never have had the chance to heal, transform, and touch such profound peace, joy, and freedom. If we don't experience suffering, how can we ever generate understanding and compassion? Compassion is born from understanding suffering, and without understanding and compassion, we cannot be a happy person. I care very deeply for my students, but I would never want to send them to a heaven or any place where there was no suffering. We cannot create happiness in a place where there is no suffering, just as we cannot grow lotuses without mud. Happiness and peace are born from transforming suffering and pain. If there was no mud, how could a lotus grow? Lotuses cannot grow on marble.